Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through to chapter 4, verse 20.
You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want to do is alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change your tone, because I am perplexed about you.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Galatians chapter 3 and 4. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us through your word now as we think about the verses we just heard read. And we pray that you'd help us to grow in our confidence in who Jesus is and what he has done. Pray this in his name. Amen. Some people just seem to be born with confidence. They don't seem to have any trouble getting along with whoever they meet. They just seem to fit everywhere they go. But I don't think I've ever been like that. For me, high school was quite a hard time. I went to quite a big high school, much, much bigger than the one here. And I never really worked out how to fit in. But despite those years being quite tough for me, I can still remember different times where I went to things and I felt quite confident. There's one particular time where there was a school disco on. I was going to this disco feeling really confident, like I was all of a sudden going to be able to fit in. I went with my Levi jeans, the kind that everybody was wearing at the time, and the joggers that every young guy wanted to have, and most of them couldn't get their parents to buy. I can't remember if they were Nikes or if they were Reeboks, but I remember them being pretty flash, and I remember feeling pretty flash wearing them. I was absolutely brimming as I went to that disco. Confidence is a funny thing, isn't it? It's funny how something as simple as a pair of shoes or a nice outfit can make such a huge difference to how confident you feel. There are lots of things that affect our confidence. Some people like to convince themselves that they're going to be confident. They tell themselves that they are the best at what they do. They're constantly trying to reassure themselves to build up their confidence. You find other people who have a tendency to put people down so that they can feel better about themselves. But no matter who you are, we all have those times when we're feeling less confident than others. Now, imagine I'm not the only one that has those days when you just can't seem to feel comfortable in the clothes you're wearing. Maybe they've shrunk in the wash. Maybe the ones that you like are still dirty. But for whatever reason, you aren't wearing the clothes that make you feel comfortable. And that's usually about the same time as you'll have a bad hair day. Your hair will be sticking out in all sorts of weird and wonderful directions, and nothing short of a complete buzz cut can get it under control. And so no matter how confident you were feeling, your confidence kind of zapped. Confidence is a funny thing. If you've got it, you don't think all that much about it. But if you don't have it, it will influence every decision that you make. What you wear, what you feel comfortable with, who you feel comfortable spending your time with. Our confidence levels influence everything we do. And so having a healthy level of confidence is something that's really important to us all. But what's more important is how confident we are in what Jesus has done for us. If we've got confidence in our own abilities, but we don't have that same level of confidence in what Jesus has done for us, it will influence every decision we make. When people aren't confident about whether they're saved or not, they'll do all sorts of things to try and find that sense of confidence. They'll start to compare themselves with other people in the church. They'll start to look at the ways that they serve in the church or the ways they serve in the community. And they'll start to find confidence in those things instead of in Jesus. But when we have a strong sense of confidence in what Jesus has done for us, we won't try and find other ways to feel confident about our salvation, because our confidence will be grounded in the unchanging reality of what God has done for us through Jesus. Now, today's passage is reminding believers that through faith in what Jesus has done for them, their standing, their status, and their relationship with God has changed forever. And so they can have confidence in their salvation on the basis of what Jesus has done. Let's look at the first section of today's passage in chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. Paul explains that through faith in Jesus, our standing before God has changed forever. Now, Paul begins these verses by reminding the believers who they are in Christ Jesus, because it's when we know who we are in Christ that we feel the greatest sense of confidence. Paul says in verse 26 that those who trust in Jesus are sons of God through faith in Christ. Now, I'm pretty sure there's no one here who's Jewish today. And so when Paul uses the word sons, he uses it very differently from the way that we would normally use it. When we think of a son, we're thinking of a male child usually. But that isn't what Paul is referring to at all. The Jewish sense of sonship refers to the person who will inherit all that the father or the head of the household has, one who is the primary heir of the estate. And built into that word son is a deep sense of affection and belonging as one who will continue on the family line. And so what Paul is saying is that from the moment you acknowledged that you're a sinner and put your faith in Jesus as the one and only way you could be saved, you became a family member of Christ. Whether you're young, old, tall, short, male or female, you became a son or daughter of Christ. Verse 27 says, For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In the early church, everyone who professed faith was baptized. And so this isn't encouraging anyone to be baptized because they already were. It's reminding them of the public declaration of faith that they had made. What Paul is saying is that those who have publicly professed faith in Jesus have clothed themselves with Christ. And clothes cover our nakedness. They protect us from shame. They protect us from the cold. They protect us from getting sunburnt. Clothes provide us with a sense of security. And as I mentioned earlier, they can often provide us with a sense of confidence. In a similar way, those who have been clothed with Christ have their sins and shame covered by what Jesus has done. When God looks at those who are clothed with Christ, he doesn't see all of the times they mess up. All he sees is all of the times that Jesus perfectly obeyed on their behalf. And so being clothed with Christ not only covers up our sin and shame, but it also protects us from having to face the judgment that we all deserve. As Paul says in verses 28 and 29, it doesn't matter who you are or where you fit into society. Sonship isn't exclusive to men, and it isn't exclusive to Jews. It includes everyone, male, female, rich, poor, wherever you fit into society. If you have been clothed with the blood of Christ, then you've been adopted to sonship, which totally changes everything. It changes the standing of those with faith in Christ Jesus from being enemies of God against all that God has planned, to heirs of the promise that God made to Abraham, the promise that he would bless all the people of the earth through that descendant of Abraham, Jesus. Let's look at the second part. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Paul explains that through faith in Jesus, our status before God has changed forever. And what Paul is saying in these verses is that faith in Jesus has changed our status from a slave to an heir. Before Jesus came into the world, God's law acted as a kind of guardian. If you go on 10-pin bowling, you put out, if you're really bad at it, you might put out the bumper guards that guide you and help you go straight. Well, God's law was designed to guide God's people and keep them on the narrow path. When we looked at the previous section, I mentioned in verse 25, just before today's section, it mentions the word supervisor in the NIV translation. And that word supervisor, it comes from the Greek word paedagoges. A paedagoges in Greek culture was a guardian who would make sure that a child grew up and learnt all of the different things that they needed to learn. The paedagoges would take them to class and would sit and wait and make sure that they were paying attention. The paedagoges would give them instruction and then also protect that child. The paedagoges sort of acted like those bumper stoppers, keeping them on the straight and narrow. As a child in Jewish culture, the child had no more rights in the household than the slave. They couldn't decide they're going to go off and do something. They had the same responsibilities to the father of the household, the head of the household, as a slave. And in a similar way, God's law, the rules that he's given to his people, were given to guide and protect his children. Before Jesus, it was like those with faith in God were like little children. Had no more authority than a slave because they were still under the law. But when Jesus came into the world, the status of those who put their faith in him was changed forever. From being a child who could only look forward in anticipation of what God might do one day, to sons who have received all of the blessings that the Father has promised through faith in Jesus. They're no longer children with no more rights than a slave in the household, but heirs. As verse 6 says, because of Christ, we have been given the status of sons, and God has put his Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You would have all seen on a movie somewhere, maybe, the kind of seal where they would put some wax on an envelope and then squish into it the ring of a king or some important person to seal that envelope so that no one could open it. Well, that's the image there. Once we've received the Holy Spirit, we have been sealed. It is done. When you purchase a house or a block of land, there's a point at which you're required to pay a deposit. And once that deposit's paid, you're committed. You either go ahead with it or you lose the deposit. There is still a period of waiting before you get the keys. But from the moment that the deposit has been paid, it is only a matter of time until that house or that block of land is yours. And in a similar way, God has sent his Holy Spirit into the hearts of everyone who trusts in him as a deposit, a seal that guarantees our inheritance and cements our status as sons and daughters of the living God. All the blessings that come from being a son or a daughter in God's kingdom are as good as ours. We are merely waiting for the final settlement. When Jesus returns for those who trust in him, or if he calls us home at the end of our lives before then. If you have faith in Jesus, your status has changed forever. You're once a slave, but now you're an heir to the promise that God made to Abraham. Let's look at chapter 4, verses 8 to 20, where Paul shows us that through faith in Jesus, our relationship with God has changed forever. Now, it's pretty easy when you read these verses to see how frustrated Paul's getting with the believers at Galatia. You can see it in the way that he is writing these verses. Paul is writing to believers whose standing and status has changed forever, and yet they're living like slaves. They'd received freedom from the guilt of their sins, and they should have received freedom from the fear of death. But they were still living like people who were condemned. It wasn't as though they'd stopped worshipping God. They hadn't gone back totally to paganism. They were still trying to please God however they could. But they were following him in ways that were really, really unhelpful to them. They had lost their confidence in what Jesus had done on their behalf. And they were trying to gain back that confidence in any way they could. And so Paul is rebuking the believers for forgetting who they are in Christ and that their relationship with him has changed forever. Paul asks them in verse 15, what has happened to your joy? What has happened to your joy? The Judaizers, I haven't mentioned them for a few weeks, but the Judaizers were those Jews who were trying to convince the believers at Galatia to get back under all of the rules and regulations of Judaism. Well, they had provided the believers at Galatia with lots and lots of things they could do to try and gain their confidence. But none of these rules and regulations, no matter how hard they tried, were giving the believers joy. They weren't giving them the kind of confidence that trusting in Jesus had done. And so Paul reminds them in verse 9 that God did know them and that they know God. Now, this isn't saying that God knew lots of things about them. God knows everything about everybody. What it means is that they belong to God. that he is their God and that they are his. From the moment they put their faith in Jesus, they belong to him. They had come to know and trust in Jesus, and God had adopted them as sons. These Judaizers had shaken their confidence badly, so badly that they were looking for confidence in other places. And so Paul is reminding them that the only place that we can find lasting confidence is in Jesus. Because if you have faith in Jesus, your relationship with God has changed forever. You were once a slave, just as much as a slave as under the head of the household. You had no more rights than a slave. But now you're an heir of the promise that God made to Abraham. Today's passage is reminding believers that as soon as we lose our confidence in what Jesus has done, we'll start to do exactly what the believers at Galatia did. We'll try and find our confidence in all sorts of other things, things that are unhelpful for us. And so it's vital for our spiritual health and our ability to serve within the body of Christ that we know and experience confidence in Christ. I mentioned at the beginning of this message that it doesn't take a lot to shake our confidence in ourselves. Bad hair day, some clothes that don't fit all that well, maybe we're a bit tired. Whatever it is, it doesn't take much to shake our confidence in ourselves. But confidence in Christ isn't like having confidence in ourselves, because it's not based on how well we are doing in this life. It isn't based on what other people think of us. It is based on what Jesus declares to be true about us. If you have faith in Jesus, your standing and your status and your relationship with God has changed forever. You have been adopted to sonship as an heir in God's kingdom. God's Spirit now lives in you and is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. You are known by God, which means you belong to him. Today's passage reminds us how easily believers can go from trusting in Jesus to trying to find their confidence in other things. The only way that we can keep our confidence in Christ is to keep reminding ourselves and each other what he has done. It's so easy to feel like a bad Christian when you've neglected your time with him, your quiet time. It's so easy to feel uncertain about your salvation when you see your sin. You can see all of the things that you've done wrong throughout the week, but you've neglected to remind yourself of God's grace. As simple as it is to say, and as hard as it is to do, if we want to keep our confidence in Christ, we need to have more conversations about our faith in Jesus. Now, I'm totally guilty of this too, but it's so easy for us to talk about tractors or the farm or our gardens or whatever else we've been doing this week. And there's a time for that. It's always easy to revert to those kind of conversations. But it's so much harder to talk about what we've been reading in our Bibles, what struggle we've been having in our walk with the Lord, how God has been challenging us this week. If we want to keep our confidence in Christ as the body of Christ and as individuals, then it's very important that we step out of our comfort zone and encourage and challenge each other to keep growing in Jesus. Because if our confidence is not in what Jesus declares to be true of us, we will begin to look for our confidence in ways that are really, really unhelpful to our walk with him. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would give us boldness to talk about you. It's always a tendency to default to whatever conversation is the easiest. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to build close relationships within the body of Christ, to share with each other, to lean on each other, to encourage each other in our walk with the Lord. Help us to be iron that sharpens iron, not just in principle, but also in action, Lord. Help us to come alongside each other, that we might have a wonderful confidence in what you have done through Christ Jesus as we spur each other on in our walk with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.